You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Finally, 1 week away from the NFL draft. Let's go. Mel Kiper Jr. said yesterday on our show that he thinks this is the most intriguing draft he's seen in his 40-plus year career. I tend to agree. Welcome to NFL Live, everyone. Coming up, we're creating our own draft room. You don't want to miss this. We got coach, we got GM, we got head of scouting, all played out by people on the show. I'm putting them on the clock, by the way, too, for the toughest first-round picks. Dan Orlovsky is here. He'll be the coach. Lewis Riddick, he'll be the GM. And Todd McShay will join us as well. Guys, we're having a lot of fun with the draft, but I don't think we're having as much fun as Jerry Jones is having. Let me explain. So with the 10th pick in the draft, the Cowboys are in an interesting spot. No doubt they need defensive help, but is there a player as high as 10 that they value that much in D in a draft that's chock full of offensive talent? Surely their defense is somewhat better overall with Dan Quinn and a new scheme taking over. Fact is, can't get much worse, right? Last season, the Cowboys allowed over 29 points per game, their second most in franchise history, trailing only their inaugural season in 1960. ESPN senior draft analyst Todd McShay addressed Dallas's defense in his alternating mock draft with Mel Kiper Jr., selecting Scouting's top-graded cornerback in Patrick Surtain out of Alabama and top-graded defensive tackle in Christian Barmore with their first two selections. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones has his eye on another coveted prospect, though, but this one's on the offensive side of the ball.
I'll tell you what, I'm excited to have you come into this league, and man, what a pair up we could do with old Dak Prescott. Some of those guys that we've got out there have options to get you the ball, so we can dream of visions of sugar plums around here. It's really special to see a player come in with the potential you've got and have your head on the ground, have your head like you got it. So congratulations again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So in case you missed it, that's Jerry Jones talking to Florida tight end Kyle Pitts, who Mel said yesterday on the show is the best tight end he's ever evaluated. There were even like Nutcracker references in there. Anyway, Dan, do you like Jerry publicly flirting with Pitts like this?
I don't like it. I love it. There's multiple ways to make your football team better. And the Cowboys aren't going to get Kyle Pitts, but the second best thing would be for somebody not in the NFC to get Kyle Pitts. And there's a team at four, the Atlanta Falcons, who have number four selection, right? So maybe Jerry's flirting and the enticement that he's putting out there of adding Kyle Pitts to the Cowboys, like forces, I don't know, the Dolphins to go from 6 to 4 to go get him, or the Chargers to jump all those NFC teams, because at 7 is Detroit, and 8 is Carolina, and 10 is Dallas, but 11 is the Giants. Like, he doesn't want him in his conference. So maybe you force the Chargers to go all the way up to 4 to go get him. So I love it from Jerry Jones, just realizing as long as the teams that we're going to have to play consistently don't have Kyle Pitts, since we're not going to go get him, that's the best thing that could happen to our organization.
Yeah, Lewis, I mean, we know that Kyle Pitts is not going to be there at number 10, but what do you think the Cowboys should do when their pick comes around in the first round?
Yeah, Laura, I think they should definitely be looking to try and improve the defense. I think they're obviously going to be trying to look to maximize value. It's a word we hear all the time at this time of year, and rightfully so. So I think at 10, what would I be trying to do? I'd see if one of the quarterbacks are sliding, I'd want somebody to come in there and take the pick from me and see if I can move down and still get great value at one of the positions that I really need on the defensive side of the ball to make sure Dan Quinn has what he needs in order to make our defense much better from what the abysmal showing it showed last year. So how could I get a guy like Patrick Surtain II at better value for me, provided that that's how they look at it? Now, if they feel as though from a scouting department and from a front office perspective and a coaching perspective, Patrick represents great value at 10, then pick him. He's a big, long, strong corner who can play a lot of press bail technique, play a lot of quarters technique. I don't know how much single high you actually want to put him in, especially if your pass rush isn't very good. I don't know how he's going to hold up down the field against NFL caliber receivers, but we'll see. But if they think he matches up perfectly, then take him at 10, especially if you can't get out of there. If you can move back and get him, That's what I would try to do. I would make sure I try to bolster the defensive side of the football at a good value selection.
Yeah, Todd McShay, I mean, in one of your recent mocks, you've got Patrick Surtain going to the Cowboys. And as I was saying off the top, it's like you look at the defensive prospects in this class and you say, are they worth that 10th pick? But in your mind, Surtain's a fit there. Anything else that you'd throw in here with the Cowboys in that 10 spot?
I think moving back would make a lot of sense. I mean, you can move back and get a Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech who might be the best man-to-man cover corner but is going to fall a little bit because of the back injury. Or you can move back and get a defensive tackle like Christian Barmore from Alabama. So if they can get a deal to move back, and I know everyone's talking about them moving up to go get the tight end, but if they can move back, I think that would make a lot of sense, get additional picks and go get one of these defensive players. But the bottom line is this, Laura. When you have five quarterbacks that we all believe are going to go very likely in the top nine picks, and you got four pass catchers, including Kyle Pitts from Florida, these defensive players are all going to get pushed back. Yeah. And there's a lot of really good players from the edge rushers to the corners.
Yeah. Todd, really fast, one second, Dan. You mentioned people are talking about the Cowboys going up to get Pitts. Is that happening? Like, is that a thing that's even in the realm of possibility here? How would they do it?
I would do it if you could, if you didn't have to give up too much. But think about how much you're talking about quarterback value. It's like two first rounders you're going to have to give up in the future to go up and get Kyle Pitts. And I love Kyle Pitts. I think he's a once in a decade at least, maybe two decade type of tight end coming out of the college ranks. But it's just going to cost so much to go up and get him. That's why I think they're better off staying at 10 or moving back.
Yeah, the Cowboys fans, don't get your hopes up. You're not getting Kyle Pitts, okay? Like, first of all, he's not making it to 10. Second of all, if your organization trades all that draft capital to go up and get Kyle Pitts, you guys are going to lose every game 55-56 because your defense will be terrible for the next 5 years. You're not getting Kyle Pitts.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. If they wind up doing that, let's just, for the heck of it, pretend that Jerry Jones actually is going to do this. I will tell you what, I want us to cut immediately on draft night to Stephen A. Smith, wherever he is.
Yes.
And I want us to get his reaction to this because it will be epic. And my reaction, I'll tell you what, my reaction will just be one of those where I'll probably just sit there and stare at the camera and going, they're not beating anybody.
No one.
I can just see Stephen A. right now with the cowboy hat that he puts on.
How about
them
Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Okay, we are a week away from the NFL draft. We have our own draft room ready to go here on NFL Live. Take a look at Mel Kiper Jr.'s most recent mock draft. This is a guide for our exercise. Here he has three quarterbacks coming off the board in the first three picks, then has the Dolphins trading up for Kyle Pitts, the Falcons taking Trey Lance after trading down. That, of course, means the Lions are now on the clock at number 7. So keep in mind what you're seeing here on the screen. That's important. We've got our head scout, Todd McShay, our coach, Dan Orlovsky, and our GM, Lewis Riddick, all three in the draft room in Detroit. They have 2 minutes until they need to submit their pick, which will be given to me by Lewis. And with that, the clock starts now. Todd, what are the Detroit Lions you guys doing here at 7?
You got to go wide receiver. I mean, you lost Kenny Golladay. You lost Marvin Jones. You need a playmaker and a difference maker at that position. And you got Ja'Marr Chase from LSU available. And I know Devontae Smith from Alabama had the best season probably in the history of college football at wide receiver. But Ja'Marr Chase, go back to that 2019 tape. He set an SEC record single season for receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. He would be a perfect fit for Detroit at 7.
I absolutely respect this decision, head scout. But, Lewis, I need you to listen to me. We are a new age for this Detroit Lions organization, and we are BWB, Build With Bigs.
Don't
I've watched this organization
him,
for a long time take receiver after receiver after receiver. I want the best player left at the most important position on the football field. That's offensive line. I want Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, okay? This is a guy that's going to be an all-pro for the next 10 years for us on the offensive line. We took on Jared Goff's contract and those picks because we know we're building for the long term. The way to do that is those guys up front. I know those receivers are flashing. I love Ja'Marr Chase, but let's do this the right way. Let's build with the bigs.
Look, I hear you both. Look, I love Rashawn Slater. Look, we invested some money on the offensive line. We got Taylor Decker. We just signed him to a new contract to play left tackle. We've got Jonah Jackson at left guard. We got Frank Ragnow, who's one of the best young centers in the NFL. So I think we have the foundation at offensive line. Look, the guys who we signed so far in free agency aren't good enough at wide receiver. Breshad Perriman, Tyrell Williams, you know, Khalif Raymond. These guys are all number twos, maybe even number threes, guys we can't depend on. And we need Jared Goff to come through for us. We need to be able to score points. Anthony Lynn can't run the ball every play. I think we have the makings of a good offensive line. I think Ja'Marr Chase is a unique talent. I think he instantly becomes number one and becomes Jared Goff's guy. I'm going to turn the ticket in. Look, as much as I love Rashawn Slater,
please don't.
We need to be able to score points.
Please don't.
I'm
going to give
go
me
with
Slater.
Ja'Marr Chase here.
The pick is in.
Ja'Marr Chase is the pick.
There we go. Hey, McShay won that one. And the good thing for you guys, we're doing more of this later. So in our draft room here, the Lions picked Ja'Marr Chase at the seventh pick.
I tried.
Hey, wait till we get to the Falcons at four. Things are going to get really wild. All right, let's talk Patriots. A really intriguing scenario to watch, especially over the next week. Patriots corner Stephon Gilmore is in the final year of his deal, but could be more valuable potentially to New England as a trade piece to get a higher pick than the 15th pick in round one. If the Pats decide they want to go quarterback, you got to think they're going to have to give up some serious capital there. Diana Russini joining us now with all the latest. So, Diana, where do the Patriots stand right now with Gilmore?
All right, so Stephon Gilmore is on the last year of his five-year contract with the New England Patriots. He redid it last year, basically helping the Patriots out. So what he did was he wound up getting more money last season, roughly about $13 million. This year, though, Laura, he's getting $7 million.
Wow.
Which this
wow.
is Stephon Gilmore. This is a defensive player of the year back in 2019, right? So he's not going to want to play on such a low number. The New England Patriots know that. And going into this offseason, there was a lot of chat around the league that they were going to trade him, that this was going to go down. But the sense I'm getting right now is that there have been conversations between both parties, but nothing has been struck. So I know you just pointed to the fact that this could be part of a package deal come draft night, possibly for the New England Patriots to trade. This is certainly something that is an option for New England, and it is on the table.
It's really interesting. So, Lewis, if you think about this, and Diana's reporting that this is an option on the table for Gilmore to be a possible trade piece in the draft, could make things really interesting. How do you think the Pats could use him if they're trying to make a trade?
Yeah, I think it really is going to depend on how the quarterback selections go here at the top of the draft, Laura. Let's just suppose that one of the guys that they like starts to slide down to the latter half of the top 10, and maybe they're sitting there and the 10th pick comes up and Dallas hasn't traded up. Dallas is on the clock. Dallas does need a corner. A quarterback is sitting there that Bill does like. Well, I mean, there's the perfect kind of trade partner, right? You have a guy right here, Stephon Gilmore. Could you picture him in a Dallas Cowboy uniform? Do you Dan Quinn would like to be able to use him in his scheme in a single high type of scheme? Look, Stephon Gilmore can play in any scheme. You can have single high, you can have none high, you can have all of them high. I'll tell you what, Stephon Gilmore can play. So if you can get a guy like this in a favorable contract, Bill can say, hey, look, yeah, I understand you want picks. Here, I'll give you some picks, but I'm going to throw in this player. Because he's someone who, you know, obviously you can absorb very well into your cap structure, given how cheap he is and given what kind of return he'll give you. We get what we want, you get what you need, and everybody's happy here. I think that's a win-win type of deal, and it's something that I wouldn't discount happening provided that one of these quarterbacks fall and Bill has his eye on him.
Yeah, Lewis, the quarterback falling is really interesting. I just hit up Buggy, our research guy. So because the money factors into this as well. The Patriots have about $16 million left before the draft of cap space. Now they have 10 picks. If they make all 10 of those picks, like right where they're slotted right now, it's going to cost them about $12 million to sign that rookie class, leaving $4 million left over. So is that going to be enough for Stephon Gilmore to say, okay, give me a $4 million raise? The caveat is they won't have that much if they go get one of those quarterbacks, because that slotting will cost them more money. And so that's the really interesting part here, is that if they go get one of those quarterbacks, they'll have less cap space left and less to offer Gilmore this year. And so the option to trade Stephon Gilmore financially becomes even more realistic.
Yeah, Lewis, when you think about quarterbacks dropping, to your point in this whole conversation, we know Trevor Lawrence is not going to drop. We know Zach Wilson's going to the Jets at 2. So then you got to look, okay, is it Justin Fields? Is it Mac Jones? Is it Trey Lance? Which would be the quarterback that you think the Patriots might try to go up and get inside that top 10?
Yeah, look, I think really it would be either Mac Jones or Trey Lance. I think those are the two that I would assume that they will be most aggressive for. That if one of those doesn't go 3 to San Francisco, or one of them doesn't go 4 to Atlanta, and then the one of them is sitting there dangling, whether it be Mac or Trey, and then they start to drop, and they start to drop, and Denver doesn't pick anybody, nobody trades into, you know, Detroit spot. I think that's when Bill's going to sit there, and you're going to see him like going, okay, look, it's time to work here. It's time to get to work and see if we can get our guy. And that's not to say that he doesn't have his eyes on Justin Fields as well. I just think those are the two guys that they will target if either one of them starts to fall. That's why, look, next Thursday night is must-see TV, man. I mean, this right here is just, I mean, it's reality TV right in front of us.
Yeah, and we'll have it all covered for you on ESPN and ABC. The Patriots have never traded up into the top 10 under Belichick, nor have they selected a quarterback in the first round, so things could just get real wild.
Let's go.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Next week's going to be a lot of fun in Cleveland, but right now we're heading back into the NFL Live Draft Room, where we're putting the Arizona Cardinals on the clock with the 16th pick. We're using Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft, so here's what he has projected in his first 15 picks of his most recent mock. This includes the Patriots trading up to 10th overall for Justin Fields, so he's off the board. The Cowboys addressing their defense after trading down. They select cornerback J.C. Horn, so the South Carolina corner's off the board. We have our lead scout, Todd McShay, our head coach, Dan Orlovsky, and our GM, Lewis Riddick, all three in the draft room in Arizona. They've got 2 minutes until they need to submit their pick, and the clock starts now. Dan, head coach, give us your case first.
All right, Lewis, you know I'm an offensive-minded head coach, you know, and I got Kyler Murray, and I want to get the football out of my hands to some special playmakers. But we got to stop some people on defense. And I know we've got Alford, and I know we've got Malcolm Butler, but I want to go get Greg Newsom from Northwestern. I think he's rangy. I think he's long. I love the fact that he was coached by Pat Fitzgerald. I think he's got a high level of intellect playing that secondary. And just speaking from an offensive perspective, I think he's going to make it very difficult to throw the ball his way in a zone defense. I love offensive players. We need to go get Greg Newsom.
Cliff Kingsbury came in for a reason, to open things up, to be multiple, to have wide receivers, and to throw the ball. You're not the head coach anymore. I'm making the decisions until Lewis does. But to me, I understand corner, and that makes sense, but I've got to go with Elijah Moore. Yes, he's 5'9 and a half, 178 pounds, but he ran a 4.35 at his pro day. He led the FBS coming out of Ole Miss in receiving yards and receptions this past year. He's explosive. He's dynamic. He's exactly what we brought Cliff in to do, and not why we seemingly have you as the head coach.
Well, I'm going to say this. Look, I think we have enough firepower on offense. I think our offensive line is going to be absolutely rock solid. I think we're going to be able to run the football. I think we have enough firepower on the perimeter. We have a nice complement of wide receivers, and Kyler Murray, I think, is set up now to succeed. On the defensive side, look, for Vance Joseph, we need some people who can cover because he likes the pressure. So I'm going to say this. I need a man cover guy, and I'm going to trust my medical staff right now. I'm going to say this. Hey, look, you guys are telling me I can draft Caleb Farley. You're going to tell me he's a great value at this pick relative to the risk he poses from a medical perspective. Caleb Farley is the pick from Virginia Tech, and we're riding with defense.
Right down to the wire there, Lewis. I love it. I mean, he's got the back issues, but you feel good about this, Lou. I mean, you went ahead and overrode the other two guys, and you're going with Caleb Farley.
Yeah, well, see, I know that they still like the player. What we're gonna do is turn to the medical department that's gonna be sitting right next to me, the doctor and the trainer, and I'm gonna go just
you
like
this. You
better
trust that group, man.
It's on you.
Hey. Hey, you told me now, and you know what? I think there's going to be I think right around this area, when the real draft kicks off, there's going to be people having that discussion too, because Caleb can play now. He can cover just about anybody.
Yeah, he can.
Had he not,
I think it's a great pick, Lewis. I think it's a great pick.
Yeah, well, Todd's over there like, we should have gone offense, but had Farley not, you know, missed the time with injury, had he not dealt with some of that, I think we'd be talking about him as the top cornerback available in this draft. All right, Dolphins GM Chris Greer was talking today about this. We're going to get to that in a moment, but you see Devontae Smith and that 166. Okay, it's a number that is going to continue to be talked about because that's what he weighed in at the medical checks in Indy. Now, listen, we knew he was undersized but compared to some other guys, right? But this 166 has stuck out to some people. I mentioned GM Chris Greer. This is what he says about size issues.
Okay. Those guys have shown that they've been good players, you know, at a high level of play in the SEC. But that goes for a lot of players around the country. I just think the game has changed a little bit, and I think these smaller players are given more room and freedom to showcase their talents.
I think what he said about the game has changed is really important. Mm-hmm. Greer may not be concerned with Smith's size, but only three wide receivers have eclipsed a 1,000 yards receiving in a season while weighing under 180 pounds over the last 10 seasons. Those receivers, though, DeSean Jackson, Emmanuel Sanders, and John Brown, they've all done it multiple times. To be fair, none of those receivers drafted in the last 10 years were also Heisman Trophy winners like Smith. We certainly saw him put on a show last season. Now, Todd, we rarely ever see guys play at this weight. So what is the comp for Devontae Smith?
Make it four, Laura. This guy's special. Yeah. He really is. I've done six games in the last 2 years, and I've sat there behind the bench with him chirping at every other receiver and how competitive he is. And I've talked to Steve Sarkisian, his former offensive coordinator, who said it's like having another quarterback on the field. Mm. When he comes off the field, he can tell me what the defense is doing. He can recall everything that he sees, and he makes me better at my job. Mm. And you see he's so silky smooth in terms of getting in and out of breaks, getting off the line of scrimmage. I don't care what his size is. This guy's going to be a star in the NFL.
Yeah, look, as long as you can get off the line of scrimmage in the NFL, you're going to be fine because the game is not as physical in between the numbers anymore. That's just a fact. The league doesn't want it that way. They're not playing against Mel Blount and Ronnie Lott and Jack Tatum and Kenny Easley anymore. So his size is not going to be a factor as far as taking big hits down the field. And quite honestly, there may be only two or three teams that really press you in the true sense of the word press. Everyone else gets up there, likes to look pretty, likes to imitate Lester Hayes. But then they just open the gate and let people have free releases. There's a reason why people are throwing for 4,000 yards like it's Madden, like it's a video game. It's because no one's challenging anybody. So I think Devontae's going to be fine. He can smoke you anyway, even if you do challenge him at the line, because he's got those tap dancing type of feet, and he's got brilliant route running ability. I wouldn't be concerned about his durability from a size perspective at all as far as taking shots. Now, as far as, you know, soft tissue injuries and stuff, you worry about that with every wide receiver because of how much running they do. But I think he'll be fine from a size perspective.
Yeah, Lewis, I love the fact that you brought up the press at the line of scrimmage. We did a touchscreen of him at the line of scrimmage versus press yesterday. I put it on Twitter, and Tony Dungy responded. I want to share with everyone Tony Dungy, Super Bowl winning coach, responded back with. He said, "This is a 75-year-old question, Dan, and it has the same answer today. Size is a factor, but ability trumps lack of size in special cases. Marvin Harrison will be able to get open in the NFL. Will work done be able to gain yards? Will Robert Mathis get sacks? Kyler Murray? Yes, yes, yes." That was in response to my question, will 166 pounds matter? Tony Dungy doesn't think it does. And the last two things I'd say is this. Quarterbacks care about one thing with receivers. Dude, can you get open? We don't care how you get open. We don't care what it takes to get open. Can you get open? When you're open, do you catch the football? And if you catch the football, what do you do with it? That is Devontae Smith's strengths, okay? Now, Marvin Harrison, didn't play with him, but I played with Reggie Wayne. And I think there's something for Devontae Smith to learn from Reggie Wayne. Catch the ball, get your yards, get down. You don't got to prove how tough you are in the NFL. Catch the ball, get your yards, get down.
Yeah, you know, Todd brought up the leadership of Devontae Smith, and I wanted to take that one step further. In watching him on Alabama sidelines over these past few years, the quarterbacks, who most of them were relatively young, you think about Jalen Hurts, you think about Tua Tagovailoa, who dealt with some injuries during his time, Mac Jones, who was coming in and having to win over that team, having not been the starter. Devontae Smith was who they took their cue from. A lot of times when things were happening in the game, they would go up to Devontae to be like, okay, what should I be doing? What should I be saying here? I don't think you can overstate the leadership skills
That's so mentality.
Rare, it is. For a receiver, right? And I don't mean to downplay what receivers do, but it is so rare to see somebody behave that way.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back here on NFL Live, okay, there's been a lot of conversation around where some teams are holding their drafts and where they're actually going to have their war rooms on draft night. So the Rams, of course, have rented out some lavish mansion. Cliff Kingsbury of the Arizona Cardinals poked a little fun at Sean McVay for that. Listen to this.
I really think it's just a ploy by McVay to allow himself the opportunity to take his shirt off again and jump in the pool like he did on Hard Knocks. Probably sip a little rosé, dip in the ocean, and make some draft picks. So I think more than anything, he headed that up. So it should be fun to watch.
Sounds like a pretty good draft night.
Sounds like a solid Thursday night.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is, guys, I hate to tell you, we will not be jumping in any pools today, and our draft room is right here. So let's put you back to work here. The NFL Live Draft Room, in business. We're going to put the Indianapolis Colts on the clock with a 21st overall pick. We're using Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft, his projections, before the Colts select as our guide. So he's got the Raiders and the Bears both addressing their O-line needs, with Chicago selecting Oklahoma State offensive tackle Tevin Jenkins one pick before Indy. So you keep that in mind as we have our lead scout, Todd McShay, our head coach, Dan Orlovsky, and our GM, Lewis Riddick, all three in the draft room in Indy. They've got 2 minutes until they need to submit their pick. The clock starts now. Dan, you're the head coach. You first.
This is an easy one for me, Lewis. Listen, we just got Carson Wentz. We got a good offensive line. We got a really good defense. We have to get faster on offense. I need more speed. Give me Kadarius Toney from the University of Florida. What he did last year in that offense was just break out to be this really diversified piece. We can handle the football, kind of break open our offense with the run game with Jonathan Taylor, but go side to side. We can get the ball in his hands on the perimeter with screens, which is great. We could also throw the ball downfield to him. Give me speed, give me Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, I agree with the philosophy, but I'm going to go with a different receiver, Elijah Moore. I keep trying to get him off the board. Kiper has him going a lot later. But at 4.35, the speed that he has, the toughness that he has, the ability to create in the screen game, in the quick game, Elijah Moore, to me, would make a ton of sense. I wouldn't mind Kadarius Toney, too. But if you bring in Carson Wentz and you got T.Y. Hilton struggling in terms of losing his step and not being the same receiver, you got to bring in a playmaker. And I yes. think that's exactly where the Colts should
fast.
Go.
Let's get fast. Well, guys, look, I understand exactly what you're talking about, and I think we need to get Carson Wentz some help, too. And I think there's a lot of depth in the draft here, especially guys who play interior positions or who are kind of like, you know, unique weapons on the interior. But we also need to do this. We need to be able to rush the passer. Matt Eberflus needs some people who can actually get after the passer, because we're devoid of people on the perimeter. I'm again going to go ahead and turn to my medical staff and say, hey, look, Jalen Phillips, he's okay, right? We're talking about a guy who's a top 10 talent. A top 10 talent who can rush the passer better than anybody in this draft.
You're drafting a lot here at 21. Injury-riddled teams, man.
Let's take him. Hey, hold on. We're taking players in the 20s now. This is a guy who's be a top 10 draft pick otherwise. I'm just saying this. You have to trust your medical department. You have to trust it. And this guy is unique. This guy's the best pass rusher in this draft. I don't care what anybody says.
Hey,
if he can stay on the field, you're right. You probably right, but I'm counting on my medical department.
You promise me you get me some speed in the second round. You promise me you'll get me some speed in round two?
No question. There's plenty of
it
there.
I'll go with the other Moore, Rondale Moore from Purdue.
There we go. Either way, here's the thing.
Okay, see what I'm saying?
I love how Lewis, almost every time here, has just had his own pick, and he's like, I don't really care what you two are talking about. I'm going to do my own thing here.
McShay wants Elijah Moore to go number one to Jacksonville,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, McShay's going to draft Elijah Moore for every team. All right, we got more of this coming, so don't you worry. Let's get Diana Russini back in here for some other news around the NFL. Diana, what's in your notebook?
All right, so we got one new rule change that I wanted to talk about here on the show. It's really just for 1 year. Next year is going to be sort of a little bit of an experiment, and it's basically going to make it easier to recover onside kicks. The league has seen a decline in them, and they want to see them go back up. So normally you see on the recovery team about 11 players are involved. Now you can have no more than 9. So this is certainly works in the favor of the kicking team, which is what the league wants to see. So that's going to be a one-year tryout. Look for that during the preseason. Then, of course, it's probably getting the most buzz of all the new rule changes. And this is perhaps a little superficial one, but a change to the uniform numbers. Now, running backs, wide receivers, they can pick any number, 1 through 49. They can pick a number in the 80s. And a lot of the players like it, Laura, but, you know, perhaps maybe the greatest player in the league ain't too happy about it.
Look at Tom Brady there. He's saying good luck trying to block the right people now. Going to make for a lot of bad football. Why does Tom got to rain on everybody's parade there? Anyway, TV 12.
Make his job harder.
Don't worry. Not a lot of people will be 12.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get spicy with the NFL Live Draft Room. We're going to put the Atlanta Falcons on the clock. Maybe the most interesting position in the draft at this point, unless you think 3 is more interesting, which it also could be. This is what Mel Kiper Jr. has taken off the board in front of them. Trevor Lawrence going to the Jags. Zach Wilson going to the Jets. Mac Jones picked by the 49ers. So this would mark just the third time in the common draft era the top 3 picks are all quarterbacks. Keep that in mind. Those are the guys that are gone. Mac Jones has been picked at 3. We've got our lead scout, Todd McShay, in our NFL draft room, our head coach, Dan Orlovsky, and our GM, Lewis Riddick. Deep breaths, everybody. All 3 in the draft room in Atlanta. They got 2 minutes until they need to submit their pick. The clock starts now. Dan, you're the head coach. Tell me what you're doing.
I'm going to be quick. We got plenty of good football left for Matt Ryan, boys. Lewis, I'm going to get on the phone. I'm calling Denver. I'm calling the Chargers. I'm calling New England, okay? I'm making calls I want out of this draft slot. I'll call you guys back, let you know what they say. I'm making trades.
Uh-oh.
I'm so used to this. This is what Kiper does every single time. I'm just going to trade back. You got to have a dance partner. And I don't know that they're going to get
a dance partner.
I would take Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida, over the quarterbacks, even though I don't think you're going to be picking at 4 anymore. So it's going to be interesting. I think it's probably the most fascinating pick in the first round. But Kyle Pitts is the best tight end I've ever evaluated in 20 years of doing this.
Look, guys, I've agonized over this. And by the way, Dan, I've been on the phone already. I've called everyone. I've been trying to move back. I've been trying to get us in a position to pick this player that I'm about to pick, okay? Because I think it represents better value where I'm going to pick him. Look, our quarterback right now is going to be 37 years old in 2022. He's also going to carry about a $50 million cap hit in 2022. And quite honestly, we're going to have to go year to year as far as what we think he can do at this point. I know Tom Brady has spoiled us all, and we all think we can play till we're 75, 80 years old, but I just don't know if that's the case. I have to protect the future here. Trey Lance fits exactly what you want to do. He fits exactly what you want to do. As a matter of fact, in college, he looked like you were calling the plays for him at North Dakota State.
He ran
the same system. I'm betting on the future. We're gonna capitalize on that rookie contract. We're gonna build out this defense. There will be more perimeter players that we can get in the future, but we're gonna protect the future and at the same time build for the present. We're going to go with Trey Lance.
Falcons picking Trey Lance here. Dan, has anybody answered the phone yet?
No.
It doesn't seem like anyone's
answered. But Matt Ryan's calling. He wants to talk to Lewis. Matt Ryan.
Oh. Yeah, hey. But Lou, go ahead.
Tell him as soon as I get in my car on the way home, I'll give him a buzz back. I love him. I love you, Matt. But I think you understand. It's all business, brother. It's all business.
I get it. Shades of Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love to it a little bit. I don't know what we just did there, but apparently we've sent Matt Ryan packing. All right, that was a whole lot of fun. Let's get to Philly. The Eagles yesterday speaking about the quarterback position, and when asked, they did not name Jalen Hurts as the starter. Of course, GM Howie Roseman and head coach Nick Sirianni talking about this also left the door open to the possibility of drafting a quarterback. Listen for yourselves.
We're going to evaluate every player, and nothing is off the table.
I'm sorry, and Hurts, though. We didn't get an answer on Hurts.
Yeah, I mean, to name any starters at this particular time, we've been working with these guys for 2 days, right? We've been working with these guys for 2 days. My biggest thing is competition. Again, we've talked a little bit about my core values. It's my second core value. It's this team's second core value. Competition's a huge thing, and we're going to have competition at every position.
Lewis, what did you make of those comments?
Look, I think having competition at every position is something that every coach has to say, all right? Every coach is going to say that kind of thing. But, look, as far as Philadelphia is concerned, with no disrespect meant towards Nick Sirianni, but Nick Sirianni really isn't making the decision about where they're going to go with this position anyway. Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie are making that decision. And really, it's the owner that's going to make that decision. And from what we have all heard, he has already decided who's going to be the quarterback for 2021, and it's going to be Jalen Hurts. So that's the direction I'm going to gear my mind towards until proven otherwise. Because right now they're not in a position to draft a quarterback anyway that can change, you know, the way this position is heading in the future. So I think it's Jalen Hurts until proven otherwise.
Yeah, it would have been a different story if they were still picking at 6. But, of course, that whole thing changed with the big trade that happened ahead of the draft. Diana, you've made calls on this situation. What did you learn?
Yeah, I was trying to get some translation, you know, because I think headed into yesterday's press conference, it was pretty much assumed who the starter was. And then Sirianni coming in, talking the way he did, it made it seem like, boy, who is the starter? So here's what I was able to gather in terms of what the plan is. And it's sort of similar to what Lou is saying here. He is a brand new head coach. He's instilling a culture that he wants, which has competitive spirit. He doesn't want to just hand Jalen the job. He wants him to earn it, just like he wants every single player on this team to earn their position. So at the end of the day, Philly knows who the starting quarterback is, but they just don't want to hand him the keys right now.
Yeah, and I think the reality is that Jalen Hurts comes off as a guy that doesn't care about competition with X. He cares about competition with himself. You know, he's not going to be a guy that's going to be motivated more or less because a coach has said, well, it's going to be an open competition or it's Jalen's job. Jalen is on a journey to compete with himself and see how good he can get. Second of all, like, it's okay to sit there and say, listen, this is Jalen Hurts' football team until he proves to us that it can't be. You know, like, that's okay sometimes as a coach to sit there and go, Jalen, this is your team. And until you prove that you're not capable of being our starting quarterback, it's your show, all right? Because the reality is this, guys, if there was actual quarterback competition, they would have brought in a guy like Jacoby Brissett, who's had success as a starting quarterback in the NFL and was with Nick Sirianni. Or they would have gotten a Mitchell Trubisky. They went and got Joe Flacco, a veteran, right? This is Jalen Hurts' team until he shows everybody in Philly he can't be a starter.
Yeah, to your point, Dan, just a reminder of Jalen Hurts' path up until this point. At Alabama, he was the starter, was 26-2 as a starter, then had the job taken away from him for Tua Tagovailoa, then came in and won a game that got him to the college football playoff. Then from there, he went to Oklahoma, won the job there, won over a team that he barely knew, and then, of course, when he got to the NFL level, he goes into a situation where maybe the quarterback room isn't the most friendly, if you could say that, say it that way, and ends up doing quite well when he did have an opportunity, or maybe better than expected, right, in a small sample size. Jalen Hurts doesn't care who he's competing with.
No doubt.
So, Lewis, let's talk about that 12th pick. That's where they are now after the trade that happened. What do they need there? Mm-hmm. There's going to be some good wide receivers at that point. You think that's the direction they go or somewhere else?
Yeah, Laura, I think this is something where they truly, in that position, are just going to take best player available, because there's a number of different guys that could possibly be available there. A wide receiver could be available. There's going to be some good defensive players. They're going to have their pick of a certain, probably all of the corners, maybe outside of Patrick Surtain. They're going to have maybe Micah Parsons going to be sitting there as well. They could pick whatever edge rusher they wanted to if they wanted to dip down and pull somebody up and kind of lift up their draft stock and maybe overdraft them. So I think everything truly in this position, everything is on the table for this football team at that spot, unlike when they were sitting there at six. So I think this could go a number of different directions. I think we have to be prepared for anything here because they really do sound like a team right now that doesn't really quite know which way they're heading. At least it does, at least it comes off that way to me.
Diana.
Talking to a few teams today, Lou, actually maybe just think of it. You know, there's a few teams out there right now who are in the position that he's speaking of, which is basically they're going to sit back and wait to see who the best player is on the board for them. They're not being position specific. And the Eagles are one of those teams who have that luxury now, if you can call it that, and even though we know they have a lot to figure out and sort through. But there are teams who are truly looking to pick the best player left on the board and just going to sit back and wait to see what everybody else does. That's really what most of these teams are going to be doing.
A week away from the NFL draft. And time for one more thing before we go. It's a big anniversary for our guy, Lewis. 30 years ago today, Lewis was drafted by the San Francisco 49ers in the ninth round. Let's go, Lou. This is really, really cool. And we're so excited to celebrate this anniversary with you 30 years ago today. What do you remember, Lou, about this day and the opportunity? I love it.
Well, I will tell you this. That day, all those years ago, I'll just tell you this, my draft experience was kind of, it was torture. It was absolute torture because I hadn't been drafted up to that point. My family's trying to be real supportive. I was getting just miserable. I just got in my car from Southeastern PA and drove back out to Pittsburgh. You didn't have cell phones. You had nothing like that. I didn't want to talk to anybody. When I got to my apartment in Pittsburgh, there was a message on my voicemail from Ray Rhodes, the defensive back from San Francisco, the defensive back coach, who said, "Hey, pick up your phone. Call me back. We just drafted you in San Francisco." And I was like, "Yeah, thanks. Great." I wasn't real fired up. It wasn't a good experience. It all turned out fine, but it wasn't a good experience.
Look at you now.
Dreams come true.
The best
and Lou still doesn't pick up the phone.
Oh, yeah, come on, Lou. The best was that photo from the draft there, Lou. You look great. Oh, yeah, there we go. It's beautiful. We'll see you tomorrow.